Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
We're coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We have the A-Team, Horowitz, and Graceffo back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. John Fass will have another update here in about 27 minutes. And get set for Mirazmania, the producer of the DA show, heard weekday mornings on CBS Sports Radio and the network. He does a good job filling in. I think he's destined for stardom, greatness. He's filling in for Zach Gelb. Is that right? In less than an hour?
Correct, Bill.
James, you guys are producers. And I'm going to ask both of you a question, because you should have a show, Graceffo and Horowitz.
I mean, you keep banging that drum, someone was going to hear
you. I'm telling you, man. I'm going to email the bosses at CBS again on Monday. Because Mraz has a show. The producers all are kind of growing, you know, like JT the Brick. Wasn't he a producer back in the day when he started in radio, or caller, right?
Yeah, I think he was a big fan of Jim Rome, and Rome heard him and then decided to, you know, go forward with it.
Yeah, it's awesome to hear him filling in. I heard him filling in for Rome and on CBS Sports Radio. I love JT. Always have. You guys need a show. But with the fill-ins, and I'm asking people this hour, you know, off of the Field of Dreams baseball game in Iowa in 2020 with the Yankees and the White Sox. Field of Dreams, was it your favorite sports movie of all time, top three, worst actor? Who would be your top three fill-ins? Not anybody with a regular weekday or weekend show on CBS Sports Radio. Your top three fill-ins that you've either heard or worked with. I'll begin with you, Graceffo. Top three.
Well, Paul Nanos is one, clearly.
Okay.
Love working with Mirash.
Is it Mraz? DA calls him Mraz, right?
Right, but that's a nickname.
It is? Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so officially, it's Sean Mirash.
Correct.
It might even be Morash. Not
Mirash.
Sure. I'm not sure where the emphasis goes.
Mirash.
Okay. Mirash. What is he? I think he prefers Mraz, doesn't he?
Yeah, because I think that's easier for people to say, easier for people to
comprehend. Because look at us trying to say his name. It's like, you know, Mirash, and you got to make sure it accentuate the H.
He also might be a big Jason Mraz fan.
Oh, very good. Wow, Horowitz, he goes deep on depth. That's what I like about him. So you have Sean with Nanos, who I love. Paul's great. Who's another fill-in that you like?
That's hard, because...
Be honest, nobody's listening.
No,
right
I
now.
Know. No, I know. It's hard to differentiate between like someone who has a weekend show and then someone who has just a regular fill it and just comes in and fills in whenever. Because we don't have a whole lot of people who just come in and fill in whenever. It's, you know, the list is kind of short.
Because you have to get to make the list, it's the A list.
Right. So, okay. Like, guys on the weekend who work on the weekend usually fill in for when hosts are out during the week.
Well, what about JT the Brick? He was in for Rome this week.
Brick is solid.
Yeah, JT was solid. Who else? Who's the guy that filled in for me last week? Was it the.
That was Kate Delaney.
Kate?
Yeah.
Where's she from?
Dallas.
Was she good?
Eh, solid.
That's good.
Played a lot of Hall of Fame cuts.
She did. That's cool. Kate sure Delaney. Did. Oh, and then another guy from Kansas City fills in. Is it Harrison?
Carrington Harrison.
He's good.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah,
Gary Parrish every now and then.
Yeah, you know, I don't hear... The one thing I'll say about CBS Sports Radio, compared to any other national show I've done, I don't hear bad people on air. I don't. And I listen different than normal listeners because I've done a talk show for 27 years. I don't hear bad people on air on CBS Sports Radio. I don't. And I'll tell you why. Because CBS Sports Radio is based in New York, largest market in America. Talent pool on update guys, producers, fill-ins is the best of the best. And they set the bar with the Fan in New York, which is the biggest and best sports radio station in America. So there's a level of talent that you have to hit if you want to get on air. Was that well said?
Couldn't have said it any better myself, Bill.
I hear sarcasm just dripping right through my headset.
Absolutely none.
I thought I said something that will get me a full-time weekday job.
Oh, that's the angle here. Okay, cool.
Okay, yeah. Send that tape to corporate, okay? No, I mean
angle.
That. I'm not looking, actually. I'm not. I have a statewide show in Michigan. I'm doing this on Saturday night. I'm working 6 days a week. I can't work anymore, but I just think that's the level. And I think it shows in the quality of everything. I tell everybody I come across in the business that CBS Sports Radio, the host, the update men and women, the fill-ins, the men and women, the producers, the men and women, are all the best in the business. They are. One nation under huge with liberty and justice and a big paycheck for me. There you go. That was well said. I got to record that and just play it. For all those CBS suits, I'll do that. If you want to join in, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227 at Saturday Huge on Twitter. Now let's go to Craig in South Carolina. Thanks for the wait. And you're on the Saturday Night Huge show.
Hey, how you doing tonight? Listen to you a long time. I love your show.
Thank you.
Okay, I just want to put this out real quick. Number one, Denzel, Remember the Titans. Okay, let's see. I'm trying to remember Adam Sandler, Longest Yard. Honorable mention. What is the name of that movie? The Bobsled Team.
Oh, Jamaican Bobsled Team, right?
Yes. Yes, that's the one.
Was that with John Candy?
Yes.
Running, what is it called?
Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings. And also, I want to put it out there, because it's from my hometown, the worst actor in the movie, this is the main thing I called about, because I don't think he gave the real person credit, like, as far as, you know, portraying him the way he should be, Cuba Gooding Jr. in Radio.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good movie, Craig. Thank you.
It was a really good movie. I'm from the hometown. I graduated from Westside. The rival was T.L. Hanna, where Radio went. He's been at my football games when I was there. And I just don't think he portrayed Radio the way he should have been.
Well, thank you, Craig, for taking us there. And I appreciate the call in South Carolina. Let's keep it in South Carolina. Go back-to-back with Herman and Myrtle Beach. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, good morning. I really like your show, guys. Y'all all do a good job. I don't know if you remember or not, but Gary Busey won Best Actor Academy Award for Buddy Holly Story. The year after he did the Buddy Holly Story, he did a movie called The Bear about Bear Bryant, and it was just as good. He was nominated for an Oscar for that. But it took Bear Bryant's life from Texas A&M all the way through Alabama, and great scenes and a great story about his life.
Busey played the bear? I never knew that.
Oh, it was a great movie. Look it up and find it.
I will.
It was great.
I will.
Yeah. He played Bear Bryant the year after he won the Oscar for Buddy Holly.
Wow.
And as far as great actors, I would have to go with Gene Hackman in The Hoosiers. I'd have to go with Gary Busey in The Bear. And I would have to go with Kevin Costner in Tin Cup and Field of Dreams.
Well, thank you, Herman, in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I don't know, in a sports movie, I know he did Waterworld, which was horrible, but anybody ever play sports movies better than Costner? He was the perfect fit for a pro golfer. And baseball, even for The Love of the Game, which wasn't a big box office hit, I caught it on HBO Showtime, whatever, one night. And this was, you know, years ago. And his scene when, like, the right fielder made a bad play, and he said something about having the guy's back, and it was awesome. I got to meet Kevin Costner when I was in Austin, Texas, and I got to know Augie Garrido. And God rest his soul. Former Cal State Fullerton, Texas baseball coach. I had a few cocktails with Augie in downtown Austin, and one day he invited me down, and he had a friend in, he said. And that friend was Kevin Costner, where they go back to the Cal State Fullerton days. First thing, like most famous people you meet, they're shorter. You know, you're sitting there looking at him going, man, he is much shorter than in the movies. But a good guy, down to earth. Let's go to Joe in Chicago, listening on AM 670, The Score. You're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Hey, Huge, how you doing tonight?
Doing good, Joey. How's life in Chicago?
Fantastic. Beautiful weather. The Cubs took a shellacking, but we'll play again tomorrow. So nothing to worry about there.
Are you worried about the Cubs? You know, before I get to your comment or comments on our huge questions of the night, are you concerned about the Cubs and when you look at what lies ahead in terms of teams in front of them right now in the National League?
No. Cubs have some players on the IL that'll be coming back, mostly pitchers, but it's not related to their arms. It's other issues that I think will be cleared up in 10 to 14 days. They'll get their pitching staff back together. The hitting's coming around. Didn't show up. The sticks didn't show up tonight, but I have absolute confidence that the Cubs are going to take the division.
All right, Joe, and then the comments about top three sports movies in your life?
Sure. You stole my thunder. For Love of the Game, I thought that was a fantastic movie with Costner, a player at the twilight of his career. Haven't heard Rudy. I love Rudy.
Yes.
Cried at the end of Rudy. And then Sandlot.
Sandlot. Oh, gosh, that's another classic one. Thank you, Joe, in Chicago, listening. Yeah. On AM 670, The Score. I want to give Mitch Rosen and his team some love. Wow, Sandlot, yeah. Crying at a sports movie. Horowitz, Graceffo, last sports movie you cried at?
Angels in the Outfield.
Not as your mom was spanking you because you were back talking.
No,
okay?
No. Ending is very heartfelt.
It is?
Yeah, Danny Glover adopts the two kids.
He does?
Yeah. Come on.
I never watched the ending because the movie stunk so much I never got that far.
Maybe you cry at the end of it.
You do.
You weren't such a Grinch.
I'm not a Grinch. It's a horrible Tony Danza. He's like John Travolta in Welcome Back, Kotter. Horowitz, last time you cried at a sports movie?
Hardball. And I don't want to spoil what happens, but it got me.
Is that the one with Jonah Hill?
Keanu Reeves.
Oh, no. Okay.
You were thinking Moneyball with Brad Pitt? No.
I'm like, he cried at that?
That Billy Bean gets me every time.
Hardball. Keanu, why'd you cry? It was so bad?
It wasn't bad, but I don't want to give it away. Everyone's against spoiling movies.
Oh, you know what? With Twitter and Facebook, good luck.
The movie's 20 years old. You could spoil it now.
Yeah,
well, Bill was a little confused, so he might have to go home and watch it now.
Yeah, now I gotta Google the movie. I'm trying to think last sports movie I cried. Oh, yeah, with how much I got paid for being the voice, the play-by-play voice in the Kurt Russell movie Touchback.
When you got the check. or when you checked the mail every day and you didn't get any residuals coming
in. Yeah, yeah.
What's flat the residual fee on that?
They got flat fee. Am I making any money off that movie right now in the $2 bin?
You get a check for $4 every 3 years.
I remember it was pretty good. When I did the video games and you were getting $500 an hour, that was pretty cool. And then that was when I was down in Chicago. NFL Blitz, I think 2001, 2002. And then when I moved out of Chicago, you weren't close to all these studio houses and companies. You just couldn't. Now technology could do it today easily. But then when I left Chicago 2001, you weren't there. So if you want to stay in that business, plus, you know, I started doing the statewide show, I think 2001, 2002, if you Google that right now, some of the clips would pop up. He said, Bill Simonson, like, NFL Blitz 2001, 2002. Should have won a video award for that. I did. A lot of awards I should have had. But I'm not a bitter, angry man, and now I got to watch Angels in the Outfield for the adoption scene, which you just ruined the movie for all of us.
Again, the movie's like 30 years old. If you haven't watched it by now, I could ruin it for you.
Could you tell me what happens? Why'd you blow It's a Wonderful Life? Come on. Don't do that.
That's a tearjerker.
Trying to think the last sports movie I cried at. Trying to think. I Feel the Dreams, the father scene with Costner. Are you kidding me? Playing catch with his dad and having that. Oh, that every time I see it when it pops up on one of the cable networks, that's a tearjerker. That's a good one. I'll have to think about that at the break. To the audience, if you want to join in, 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
Huge is America's voice on sports. This is the Saturday Night Huge Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 1-855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance at geico.com. Horowitz and Graceffa, the A-team, are producing the show back at CBS Sports Radio in New York City. John Fass will have another update here in just about 5 minutes. Huge questions of the night. Major League Baseball doing the Field of Dreams game in Iowa. White Sox, Yankees, August of 2020. Not an exhibition, a game that counts in the standings. I brought up the huge idea of all Major League teams playing a minor league game at their top four, or a Major League game in a minor league ballpark at their top four minor league affiliates. You agree or disagree? And then off Field of Dreams, being the site of that baseball game in August of 2020, this Field of Dreams at the top of your sports movie list. Give me your top three. And then your worst actor and best actor ever in a sports movie. And I'm trying to figure out the last time I cried at a sports movie. Last time I cried, either watching a TV or at the theater. I'll think about that during the next break. You can join in 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter and Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook. Let's go to John in Chicago listening on AM 670 The Score here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Bill, thanks for taking my call. You know, Major League Baseball is so slow to move with the times. We have population shifts here in the country, and they're talking about maybe putting expansion teams in Mexico or Montreal. And no offense to those guys, but I will say this. Nashville is very deserving of a baseball team, and as well as Charlotte. You have populations that are shifting to those areas without question, and you have major corporations that are located in those cities. So either through expansion or through a team moving down there. If I was Jerry Reinsdorf, I would say, Chicago, thanks for everything, and I would become the Nashville White Sox and probably make a killing moving to Nashville. And that would probably create a lot of spark, not so much the White Sox, but if you were to put an expansion team in either Charlotte or Nashville, that would create a lot of buzz going forward. And again, you know, population shifts, baseball needs to start taking a look at this stuff, because there's some small market teams that, I mean, look at Kansas City, look at St. Louis, look at the Twin Cities. Nashville can definitely support it without question.
I think Charlotte could do it too, and thanks so much for the call in Chicago. Yeah, Charlotte, Nashville, Oklahoma City is shown by how they draw for the Thunder and what they do for Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma City, they're still 4 hours from Dallas. I know they get a lot of Cardinals fans in northeastern Oklahoma, some Rangers fans, Oklahoma City to the south. I think Oklahoma City could be an MLB destination. Yeah, this gold rush by these pro sports to go to another country because they want TV deals. They live and they follow the TV money. I'm telling you, and we've said it for the last couple of years on this show, Major League Baseball, they need to change things. That's why, you know, going to a field in Iowa, it goes against 80,000, you know, not 80, 50,000 people in a baseball stadium and suites and seats. They need more of that. And that's where we got to this point in the conversation. They do. Out of the box thinking. NFL doesn't need to be in London. NFL needs to put a team in Oklahoma City. Well, you know, international TV ratings. Oh, forget that. You can go play games over there. Nashville, I agree. Charlotte, North Carolina, no brainer. You know, potential markets. Oklahoma City, San Antonio one day maybe, right? When you look at where there isn't a lot of room to grow. I don't think New Orleans would be a baseball city, right? They got the Pelicans and the Saints. Not a lot of room, but also I don't think baseball needs to expand. You need to take, you know, Tampa. There's no reason with 5,000 fans they draw. And I know that baseball wants to go to Montreal, because then you get Montreal, you get Toronto, you get Canadian TV deals, Canadian money. That's what fuels us. I know you don't want to expand if you're baseball, because your TV deals will not, it will change the game. The contracts you see won't happen in 5 years. The game will change, not for us, the fans, not for us on sports radio networks. It will change for the players. The economic reality of new TV deals. Now, you're LA, you're New York, the S Network, you're Chicago with their Comcast deals, and you're a big top 3-4 market with the corporate advertising agency money. It won't change there. Even in a place like Houston, Boston, no way. But that lower half, it's going to be a different animal. So what do? Yeah, you got the luxury tax. You got revenue share. I get all that. But at least I look at the Field of Dreams game as a start, because their talk of robotic umpires starting on second base, changing the tradition of the game, is just more fuel on blowing the whole thing up. They need to get back to their roots and also connect to the millennials, and not even the 30-year-old right now. They need to connect to that 15-year-old who in 10 years is starting a career journey. That's what they need to do. If you want to join in, we have one final segment straight ahead. 1-855-212-4CBS. That's 1-855-212-4227. At Saturday Huge on Twitter. And Saturday Night Huge Show on Facebook.
It's the Saturday Night Huge Show. Once again, here's Bill Huge Simonson.
Horowitz and Graceffo with me for one final segment, producing the show at CBS Sports Radio New York City. John Fass with an update here in less than 20 minutes. And then Mraz Mania will begin. Sean Mraz, producer for the highly acclaimed DA show, heard weekday mornings on the CBS Sports Radio Network. The Mania begins in just about 20 minutes. Good guy, good show. Listen in. He's filling in for Zach Gill. Taking comments about Major League Baseball and thinking out of the box and doing the Field of Dreams game in August of 2020 in Iowa between the Yankees and the White Sox. I love it. They need to do more. I said, go play a regular season game at your top four minor league stadiums. Barnstorm. Get after the 10 to 15-year-old. Get after the millennials. Put betting kiosk, which I think sports betting. I don't know the delay. I know in Illinois and Tennessee, they hope to get it going before football season. I think Iowa will be ready. New Jersey's just crushing it with $3 billion, but they have access there to the nation's largest market just across the river. Horowitz, how popular with New Yorkers is the legal sports betting crossing the river going over to Jersey?
Pretty popular, but the truth is in New York, I mean, there were plenty of ways for them to figure out how to bet on sports.
Really?
Beforehand, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone here has a guy, just to put it to you that way.
There's illegal wagering on sports? That needs to be a Ben Horowitz investigative report.
I'm going to dig into it.
I'm Keith Morrison. The big lights, the big apple, and big betting tonight on Dateline.
But I do know a lot of people that'll take the PATH train into Jersey because it's a cheaper alternative. And once they cross the river, they place their bets, and they're good for the night. It's a quick 10-minute PATH to Hoboken, and we're ready to rock and roll.
But also, when you're doing it that way, you can't really dig deep on money you don't have. You know what I mean?
Correct. Which is why I think the legal sports betting is you know, much better, because it helps people not be extended a line of credit per se, like they would if they, quote unquote, had a guy.
What I've heard from people is that it's not so much that the states aren't going to allow it. It's figuring out the logistics of doing it in all the states, because the states don't want to run it. So then you have established sports books who have been there for years, like in Vegas, expanded to now, you know, to Jersey. You have international sports books that want to get in on the American business, especially the sports books like in England, right? And you have not a bidding war, but from what insiders have told me, that casinos are entertaining offers on who they want to partner with, because they haven't ran sports books. They want somebody who sets the odds, who knows how to, you know, set the parlay cards, all these things that
exactly
they currently don't do.
And then a lot of the casinos in Atlantic City turn to the William Hills, you know, for example, the world, to run their sports book. The first one that opened in the state of New Jersey at Monmouth was a William Hill. The biggest hurdle, though, for a lot of these states, and what held it up in Jersey for so long, because they were ready to go, and frankly, Atlantic City needed the help, was the government was trying to figure out how much of a chunk they wanted and whether these casinos and sports books wanted to give that much money to the state. I mean, it's a no-brainer for each state. It's just a matter of how much revenue they're going to take in, because they all want their hands in the pot.
Right, and it's an argument where the state will start high and say, well, we want 40%. And then casinos are like, well, it's not worth us to do all this investment and give half back. So you want 40% of the sports betting, plus you're going to want our tax money. Great. That is a deal that says we're not going to do it.
Right.
Then the state doesn't want to run a sports book, because I know some states like Oregon tried the parlay cards. They then can't take a $50,000 bet on a, you know, NFL game and take the risk. They don't want that.
How do you justify that to your taxpayers who aren't involved?
Exactly. So, you know, I agree with you. The backroom dealing right now is how much will each state get? What's their cut, right?
That's what it is in most of these states.
And they all want to get as much as they can, and they'll slow play it. They're in no hurry. They know the casinos or those William Hills or FanDuels or Caesars or whatever you have, the Vegas books, that they have to go at the pace of the legislators.
Right, and keep in mind, too, that the federal statutes still don't allow it. So, like, when they first came out with the FanDuel mobile sports betting in Jersey, I signed up. I was like, let's rock and roll. Put my debit card in, which is, you know, what I would want to use for that, and just deposit a set amount. I wouldn't link it to my bank account. And it kept declining my card. And trust me, I got more than enough money. and I couldn't figure it out. I finally got in touch with the bank, and they said, we're regulated by the feds, and as far as the feds are concerned, this isn't legal. So I had to buy a prepaid card separate, then use that prepaid card to deposit money into my account to start making wagers.
That's, federal deposit, FDIC, right? You get it's the same thing that there is happening with marijuana. It's not legalized nationally, so businesses that open up anything connected to it all have to pay cash. They can't get loans.
Right, and they all still technically run the risk of the feds shutting them down. I think it's just a lot of the states and the feds have a mutual agreement like, hey, if we're going to legalize it, keep your hands off of it.
I just want the food business. Somebody told me outside of a Colorado dispensary or a smoke shop, again, I don't know exactly where, that some guy would had a little mini donut maker and was doing like 10 grand a week in frying mini donuts. And so
hey, good for him, man. That's capitalism at its finest.
Hey, that's, you know, I mean, you're like, you know, that and I heard the story like out where Broncos play at Sports 30 Field, whatever it's called in Denver. And somebody said like the closest, you know, pizza chain, I don't know which one, like just doing like astronomical business like on game day before and after because a lot of people are smoking and it's legal in Denver. So that's a, you know, it's a change of world, man. And I know some people don't like it, but the sports betting, the weed, you know, it's the public saying they want it. And it's almost like what we were saying about baseball, that you're stuck in this. You don't want to give up the business that built it, but you're not increasing your business. So what do? When it comes to gambling, and think about it, probably within 5 years, marijuana will be legal in most states and sports betting will be legal in most states. Right?
I agree.
So your baseball, how do you adjust with all these changes? Like I said, I think the betting kiosk in baseball stadiums for 181 home games, 81 road games, I think it changes their gate in my mind.
The key for those, that'll be the leagues want to cut at that point, because right now they're not getting a cut of any of it. They're going to say, if you want us to put it in our stadiums, we want to cut. It's whether the sports books and the casinos at that point are willing to give up a cut for added business, or if they say, hey, screw you, you know, the fans can just do it on their phones in their seat if it's legal in the state anyway.
Yeah, and that's where, and that's the line here that I think like Tennessee approved online only, and they're not going to do the sports books. And you get this back and forth where the leagues are saying, well, you're not going to use our trademark teams on your betting apps, right?
Right, but they get away with it by just using the city name. Hey, it's listed, professional baseball, New York, Kansas City. We know what it is. The leagues really have no leverage, in my opinion, when it comes to this.
No, but what they should do, which I think the NBA and NFL are doing, and maybe even the NCAA, but you get into that gray area of baseball where holier than thou when it comes to gambling, right?
Right.
And you're going to turn around and partner. You know, he's going to be knocking on the door right here, Cooperstown, Pete Rose. But that's it. It's a different. Do we all agree with everything? No. It's a different generation. Things are changing, and the legalized sports gambling and marijuana. 5 years from now, probably every state in this country, or most of them, and it's money. It's revenue. It's money. It's taxes. And you know government, if they can find a way to make more money, they're going to find a way to make more money. Let's grab a few calls here before we are done. Wayne in Alberta, Canada. Thanks for the wait. And you're on the Saturday Night Huge Show.
Hi, how are you, Bill?
Doing good, Wayne. How's life in Alberta?
It's not too bad. I've enjoyed listening to you, and I've enjoyed some of your some of your topics, and I just wanted to follow up on what you guys were just talking about betting, is that we can, in Canada here, we can go to any store and, like, fill out, like, a little form, and we can bet on sporting events from any league. You can put down as much money as you want and win back as much money, and the government doesn't even get involved in that at all.
I guarantee they're taxing the people who are setting up the kiosk, aren't they? They have to.
Well, the store gets revenue, and I'm sure they have to pay the government. But if I win, I don't have to. I'm not obligated to pay any taxes if I end up winning. So
now, how long has that sports betting been just free and easy for the public there in Canada?
Oh my gosh, it's at least over 10 years, at least maybe more. It's wow. called ProLine. It's called ProLine. You just go to a store and you just fill out a square, and you look at the lines of the day for, say, NFL or MLB or anything like that. You can pick your team, and you can put $2, $5, $10, however much you want to put down on it. And if you get them all right, you win a certain amount, and it shows on the tab how
right.
much you're going to win according to the amount.
Right, and it's parlay. I'll tell you what, Wayne, I got to get going. Thanks for the call from Alberta, Canada. Yeah, the parlay cards where you can play them. And, you know, you bet $10 and pick 10 teams, and it could be 100-1. Who knows, based on whatever the odds are in the cards. That's coming. Legalized sports gambling. It will change our business from CBS Sports Radio to local sports shows to my statewide show in Michigan. When you have legalized sports gambling, people will want information and advice on picking winners. It will be a good thing for CBS Sports Radio and a great thing for the huge show across Michigan. Hey, man, I want to thank Horowitz and Graceff of the A-Team producing the show, John Fass of the updates. Stick around. Miraz Mania is next on CBS Sports Radio.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.